Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Here we go on a wonderful Wednesday. Could more be going on? I don't think so. Kmart is here to talk about it. Hembo got beat on trivia today, and he's still salty.
Shut up.
About it. We got football. We got good hoops. We got Shohei. We got everything. Let's go. Here we go.
Only one place to start.
All right, our one place to start will be a little football conversation with our beloved insider, Kimberly Martin, who's good enough to hang out after we wrap up Get Up this day. She always is able to straighten out not only all the football questions we have, but any life lessons that are necessary. Yeah, psych major from Wesleyan University that she is. How are we, Kmart?
I'm great. How are you doing?
We had a lot of fun today. It was a good show.
With Daniel, Ryan, yes.
Yeah, it was a really good day. And the TV show was really good today, and this is going to be just as good. And I want to go through some of the stuff that we talked about. In fact, we'll take them in the order in which we did them. We had four big football topics that we did over the course of our first hour. Let's take them in the same order we did there. Let's start in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Are we embarking upon what will be the final season for Dak Prescott as the quarterback of the Cowboys?
I believe so. Yes, we are, Greeny. This is the end, unless something drastic, like, I don't know, the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl? Yeah, because we don't see this sort of situation where you have a quarterback feeling like, lame duck year. We don't know what his future holds. And the head coach at the same time. We don't see that anywhere. You don't see it in Buffalo. You don't see it in Kansas City. Think about it. The Super Bowl ended and the Chiefs were like, okay, we want to bring back Andy Reid. Now, granted, that's off of a Super Bowl. But in Dallas, it just seems sort of like, I like you. You're good, but I kind of want to keep my open in case something else comes along.
So let's hear from our beloved Cowboys fan, or at least he loves the Cowboys. I don't know if he's our beloved Bubba. Bubs, when you hear that, when you hear this is going to be your guy Dak, this is a man who wears a Dak Prescott jersey to work almost every Friday leading into games.
Really?
How do you feel when you hear this is going to be his, might very well be his last year with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense, and I kind of almost want it to because it's just not working. So I'm a Dak guy. Obviously, I wear the jersey, but for whatever reason, it's just not working. So I almost would be in favor of it moving on because for whatever reason, it's just not working. He obviously can. I have faith that he can win a Super Bowl. He can get a team there, but it hasn't happened, and we just keep having these epic collapses for whatever reason at the end, and I just can't keep doing this at the end of every year. So I personally don't want to just give him this insane contract and then just, you know, be in tears at the end of the year because they can't get a playoff at the end because they or some epic collapse. So personally, I'm okay with it if this is last year, honestly, even though I do love him, but it's just not working.
He means that literally, by the way. We sent him to the Cowboys playoff game, and he wept. Hembo, what do the numbers say? What do the numbers suggest about paying a guy like him what they would have to pay him to keep him?
The number suggests that it's basically untenable. Mm-hmm. At this point, Dak Prescott's $55.5 million cap hit would constitute more than 20% of the team's total, which is not unprecedented, but the precedent we do have is super negative. I went back and found the last five instances in which a quarterback accounted for 20% or more of his team's salary cap. There are two Ryan Tannehill seasons, the last two. Russell Wilson's last season in Seattle. There was a Jimmy Garoppolo season in there and also a Drew Brees season in there in New Orleans. And across those five seasons, those teams went a combined 21 games under 500.
Not great.
Granted, the context of those teams is obviously different than the context of this team, but I don't think it's at all a stretch to say that the Cowboys roster last year is likely to be considerably better than it's going to be this year because of that $55.5 million cap charge.
So Jerry Jones, because he says words better than any other person I've ever heard in my entire life, I don't know why, but I have the inclination to think he's got some plan here. Like when he said in the soundbite that we were playing today, you know, well, we got to pay the fiddler. you know, because they've got Micah Parsons and they've got Dak and they've got CD Lamb and all that kind of stuff. Like, something inside of me is still moved to give him the benefit of the doubt that he has some plan for how this is all going to work out, Kmart. Mm-hmm. But for the life of me, I can't figure out what it is.
I would love Jerry to share that plan. because you think, well, an NFL owner, NFL GMs, personnel execs, they're in these positions because they clearly know better than us. This is their team, so they know coming down the pike there's going to be this Dak contract situation. They know that they've got to address it. They've got to extend him, lower the cap, address CeeDee and Micah. Of course they have a plan. I think things went awry a little bit when Jerry Jones said, we're all in. And I think that set an expectation for people like, okay, this is going to be a different year for the Cowboys. And instead, it seems like this whole offseason, I've been more and more disheartened with what I'm seeing and hearing, that I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a Cowboys fan, because I don't know. Honestly, sorry, Bubba. I don't know what to make of this season. I really don't.
I would like to address the pay the fiddler metaphor, if I may, for a moment, because I did the research
on
this.
Let's hear it, by the way.
I'm very satisfied that we've had the rosters that we wanted to have over the last 3-4 years. So with that in mind, we've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
So I think you pay a piper. I think we have to pay the piper. I don't think you pay a fiddler.
No, the fiddler's busy on the roof.
The fiddler's on the roof.
I've got an explanation.
Okay.
And I think he's right. I think you're wrong.
No.
Tell me how.
When used as verbs, pay the fiddler means to face the consequences of one's actions, whereas pay the piper means to pay expenses for something and thus be in a position to be in control. So he did not just necessarily mess up the expression. There are two different expressions. I think he used the much less common one, and I think he used it appropriately.
Put that in your pop and smoke it.
Way to go, Jerry.
I've never heard
that
before.
Let's go. Jerry's got a plan. I feel better. Jerry has a plan.
If he knows that, and if he actually didn't just mess up the metaphor, but was using that little known expression.
Cowboys, win in the Super Bowl. There we go.
I give him the benefit of the doubt. That's exactly right. Greeny, live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The next topic we got to this morning, Kmart, was Ryan Poles, general manager of the Bears, saying he was, quote, pissed off at the idea, and was floated not just by Robert Griffin III last week, but by many others, but in particular him, that Caleb Williams might want to consider pulling an Eli and not go to Chicago.
Yes.
So McAfee and those guys asked Ryan Poles about it yesterday. He said he was, quote, pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in all this?
I love that from Ryan Poles, because his position is, I'm not Ryan Pace. I'm not previous GMs. This is my situation, and I have an opportunity to do what my predecessors did not, which is to draft and develop and win with my own quarterback. However, Daniel Orlovsky was on our program on Get Up earlier, and he kind of got a little mad at the suggestion that the Chicago Bears don't know what they're doing and can't be trusted to develop a quarterback. To which I say, Daniel, literally nothing about their history should suggest that they can draft and develop and win with a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that Ryan Poles cannot do that. But to this point, if you're a Bears fan, I would understand why you're a little skeptical, why you might want to say, you know what, I'll wait and see if we're going to take Caleb and if we're going to win with him, because this franchise just figures out ways to just mess up with quarterbacks.
Look, Ryan Poles has done his job magnificently well so far. That is not what's up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
I have three syllables that should give you concern, and they are E, Burr, Flus. Like, we act like the second half of last season, he suddenly became Mike Ditka.
Yes.
And yes. You know, like, yes. He barely saved his job. He fired his entire offensive staff.
That's,
we were all shocked so they didn't fire him when the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem for the folks around the country who don't know the history here. It's not 100 years old. It's like 7 years old. They drafted Mitch Trubisky. Their coach was John Fox. They fired him in 1 year. They drafted Justin Fields. Their coach was Matt Nagy. They fired him in 1 year. And those contributed to, maybe not the only reasons, maybe not even the biggest reasons, but they are reasons why Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields had difficulty in Chicago. And so now you are putting Caleb Williams, assuming that he's the pick, in very possibly the same situation, because Matt Eberflus feels like the definition of a lame duck coach.
You know more Bears fans than I do. Do you get the sense that Bears Nation, if you will, is sort of on board with what Ryan Poles is doing, like the direction in which he's rowing? Or do you get the sense that so long as someone with Hallis in their last name owns the team, they're going to keep messing this thing up?
Yeah, it's McCaskey now, and she's mm-hmm. still alive, and but she was Virginia Hallis. But I don't know that it's her. I think most of the Bears fans I know love Justin, mm-hmm. think he handled himself so well, and are actually rooting for him. Like, I think there are Bears fans who will hope Pittsburgh wins the AFC. Like, right. I think they love him. That said, I think most of them, that I know, think they're doing the right thing mm-hmm. by moving on from him and starting over with mm-hmm. a new quarterback. And I'm not here telling you they're getting that wrong. I'm telling you they should come out and they should say, Matt Eberflus is our coach. He has a contract extension, and he's going to be here. He doesn't have to win 11 games this year. If we have a bump in the road, whatever it is, he doesn't have to worry about his job. He and Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams are going to be joined at the hip, and that's the future of this franchise, and they're all under contract. And away we go. If they did that, I myself would have no concerns about this whatsoever, because it is a great situation for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I think for me, when people talked last year, I'm old enough to remember last offseason when we thought Bryce Young going to Carolina and that coaching staff. That's the place where we want a mm-hmm. quarterback to go because of that coaching staff. Well, I can tell you the coaching staff is largely to blame for why that whole Bryce Young year happened. It's not just, it also falls on Bryce Young as well in the roster, but it's because between all of the pieces on this coaching staff, they weren't in lockstep. They didn't have a clear vision and a plan that was consistent as to how to put this quarterback in a position to succeed. Now, Caleb Williams, different quarterback, different talent level than a Bryce Young. I'm not comparing them. But if you're going to tell me, well, Shane Waldron is here in Chicago, and this is great, I think that is wonderful. Hembo, you pointed out, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, fantastic career years with a Shane Waldron. So that's wonderful. However, I'm trusting Matt Eberflus to assemble an offensive staff for Caleb Williams when Matt Eberflus literally assembled an offensive staff and fired them this offseason. So again, I think it's fair to pause and say, I'm going to wait and see what they do, because they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt, but I'm allowing Ryan Poles to show that he knows what he's doing, and so far he's done his job.
The point to which I disagree, Greeny, is that this extension for Eberflus would be meaningful in any considerable way. He has two more years on his contract. He is not a lame duck coach. Matt Eberflus has two more years on his deal. To extend him now would be ceremonial or procedural. Right. Explain to me why you think giving him a third year.
Because most coaches get fired with 1 year left on their contract, because almost none of them coach the final year of mm-hmm. their contract. Normal NFL protocol, Dallas notwithstanding,
is to have three more years on every year that you coach?
No, is that coaches have two more years.
And right now he has two more years.
Exactly, which means if things go badly this year, he's going to get fired.
You can say that about two dozen teams then.
Okay, but not those two dozen teams don't have a young quarterback who's in a position to say, I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere else where the coach just got hired, where I can start fresh with a clean slate and not have to worry. Matt Eberflus was fired last year. I don't know how he survived.
You fired him.
I don't know why they didn't fire him.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they don't fire people with a lot of years left on their contract because they don't want to pay him. Mm-hmm. But he will only have 1 year left on his contract. And I believe if things go sideways next year, he will get fired. I think everyone thinks
And we think that'll ruin Caleb?
It won't help.
It won't help.
The last thing you want a young quarterback to deal with is having to learn a new offensive system his second year in the
NFL.
Caleb
is a different talent, but you can look at Baker, you can look at Justin. They're like, the NFL is littered with guys who have had to learn new offensive systems, new head coaches, new coordinators, and it doesn't help their progression. It doesn't help them. It stunts their growth. Mm-hmm. But I think to Greeny's point, you would feel like everybody keeps talking about this defense. I understand, okay, most takeaways over the in the last eight games, great. Talk to me about the offense. Like, I don't care. Talk to me about the offense, guys. And we don't know yet because it's a new staff in place. That's all.
Let me make clear what I'm saying. I think they have a chance to be really good. I think Ryan Poles has done a great job. I think the kid is walking into a great situation by the standards of number one overall picks, one of the best I can ever remember. I'm just saying it is a legitimate thing to question. Like, it is a legitimate thing to be wondering about. So I don't mind Ryan Poles saying I'm pissed off, because whatever, he wants to be. But the reality is, if the implication of I'm pissed off is that's not a legitimate question to bring up, then that's ridiculous, because it is obviously a legitimate question.
To that, I agree.
To bring up. So that's the way. Okay. Anyway, Kmart, all else as well. You're good. You're
great, Greeny. It's almost.
By the way.
Time.
By the way.
What?
The Jets are going to keep Zach Wilson if they can't find a trade suitor.
That.
In case you missed it,
Woody Johnson threatened the NFL with that the other day, and what can only be described as one of the funniest sound bites.
What are we going to do, Hembo?
Bubba, have you got that handy, Cam? For those who haven't heard it.
You know, if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So,
if we can't trade him, we're going to keep him. What exactly? Who's he? Who is that comment addressed at?
Listen, when Justin Fields fetches you a six, it's like, okay, we'll give you Zach Wilson with a Taylor ham, egg and cheese. How about?
That's what I mean. You couldn't trade Zach Wilson and a Taylor ham, egg and cheese for a conditional seventh.
No,
like you couldn't get Mr. Irrelevant. Mr. Irrelevant turned into Brock Purdy.
And they did that to Zach. Like, they helped make Zach look like this.
Yeah.
So, but it's going to be great when we're talking about Zach Wilson starting
look
games.
Out, League, if we can't trade him, we may keep him. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. Kmart, you're the best. We're back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
You know, if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny, this is ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The assembled members of the hashtag crew have indeed assembled around me, and we've got lots to get to after I remind you that ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet's the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. You can sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. All right, the crew is here. Again, we talked a ton of football on the television show this morning, and we opened with that here. I'll just recap again. The Cowboys thing with Dak, I think, is a fascinating one to watch. I compared it. I was very Mad Dog today. I made a reference to a movie called Last Tango in Paris, and I said this is Last Dance in Big D, just because I like the way that words sound similarly to each other. But at the end of the day, a quarterback and a coach going into the final years of their contract – perhaps unprecedented and fascinating. The Chicago thing, we just talked about at length with Ryan Poles. I have no problem with him defending what he's doing. And again, I think he's done a magnificent job. But the idea that there aren't some questions about that team's stability, if I'm a young quarterback and my entire career depends in large measure on how this thing goes in the next year or two, I would feel the same way some are suggesting Caleb might. The other topics we got to were the Steelers. I believe, and I think I said this yesterday to you, Justin Fields is going to be their quarterback. And Kmart sort of said this, and she said it, she made the point better than I did yesterday when she said on TV today, if the Bears had known and told the Steelers at the combine, you could have Justin Fields for a sixth round pick, Russell Wilson wouldn't be there now. So this is my reckless speculation, is that Russell went there because they told him he could be the starter. And then when they realized they could get Justin Fields, they didn't want to then tell Russell, well, 2 days later, we've changed our mind, or a week and 2 days later. So they're positioning it as it's Russell's job and Justin's just there to learn. I don't think anyone in their right minds believes that. And I think that when push comes to shove, Justin Fields will be the quarterback in Pittsburgh. I'm not even sure Russell will be on the roster when the season starts.
Do you think that Russell Wilson is in his right mind? Do you think he believes that?
Yes, I think Russell Wilson does believe that, because I think he is just the kind of out of his right mind that you have to be in to be someone like him. Like, you don't get to be Russell Wilson. People take shots at him left and right. You don't get to be a great player, which he has been for a long time in the NFL, without having irrational confidence, without having irrational belief in yourself and all of that. I think he thinks he's going to be great there, and maybe he will. But the reality is Justin Fields is just bigger, stronger, younger, and better at this point, and I think that will win out in the end.
Politics, though, were in play here. I at least in any other context, they would be. I'd like to think that Mike Tomlin actually does the unthinkable and create a legitimate quarterback competition between veterans, obviously veterans of different experience, but we almost never, ever see that in the NFL. If it's actually a meritocracy, I think Justin Fields will be the week one starter. My concern would be that the Russell Wilson of it all and all of the baggage he brings with him is going to make that a little bit more cluttered than we'd like to think.
Perhaps, but I have a lot of faith in Tomlin to ultimately get this right.
Do
I think want to do it the right way, but get it right.
How about all the wide receivers that they've struggled with in recent years?
Well, I mean, the thing about that is they're so good. Those players in general were so talented that they put up with a lot of nonsense because they were just too good. What's the expression? Like, your talent determines how much, you know, leash you get,
whatever that is.
Like, those guys have been so good over the course of time that you would just be cutting off your nose to spite your face. They've gotten rid of Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, and they got nothing for him. Right. Just like they got nothing for Kenny Pickett.
But they let them go.
Does Mike Tomlin have to wear that at all, or does Mike Tomlin just...
What part of it is he wearing? I mean, Deontay Johnson is a person who just proved himself to be one you don't want on your team.
I mean, if you drafted a quarterback in the first round and he stinks through 2 years and you give him away... Most coaches, would have to wear that. And Deontay Johnson, a really talented receiver whose talent never developed, who was cancerous in the locker room, in any other setting, we'd blame the coach for that, but we don't blame Mike Tomlin for that.
Well, I don't think we blame Mike Tomlin for Deontay Johnson being cancerous in the locker room.
No.
I don't think
it's his locker room.
Yeah, but I mean, when you have a cancer in the locker room, you get rid of him. Sometimes you give it away for nothing, and that's what they did with Deontay Johnson. And in large part, I think, because they feared he was a bad influence on George Pickens, who's the really supremely talented one who they want to turn into a superstar. As far as Kenny Pickett is concerned, I think everyone saw that he just wasn't that good.
Yeah.
He just isn't that good. And they made the right decision, which is acknowledging a mistake. I mean, at the same time that Woody Johnson is saying, oh, look out, we might just keep Zach Wilson. A year earlier in the process, the Steelers said, you know what, we're just moving on. It didn't work. We're making other decisions. We have other better options, and they move on. I think the Steelers get things more right than it sounds to me like you think they do. But one way or another, the proof will be in the pudding. And then the last thing that we talked about was the Deion Sanders comments, which we've talked about a lot here, and I think we will continue to, about his players pulling in Eli, his son, and other stars. I do believe that is going to become much more commonplace in pro football as we go forward. Will it be reserved just for the best of the best? Sure. But I could see it happening almost every year, depending on who has the first pick and all of that. I could see someone who is that. It doesn't matter who your father is.
Like, you don't think so?
No, and I'll tell you why. Let's say that this is a game of chicken that the player can't win. Let's just use Mike Greenberg. I'm the best quarterback in college football this year, and I'm not from a privileged background. I don't have any money to speak of. And I guess in this day and age, all these guys have some because of NIL. But forgetting that part of it, my father isn't Deion Sanders and my father isn't Archie Manning. okay? And the Bears have the first pick in the draft. Let's just live in a world where I don't want to play for them. And I tell them, don't draft me. I don't want to come. If you're the Bears, you face a pretty difficult decision because, yeah, you can take me, and there's nothing I can do about it. At the end of the day, if we're willing to take that all the way down the road, if we play this game of chicken all the way to the edge of the cliff, I'll have to be the one to jump out first because I won't get paid and your franchise will continue to exist. But is that what you want with the first pick in the draft? You want a guy who's holding out and unhappy to be there? You're probably better off biting your tongue or whatever it is you bite in a situation like this and trading the pick or something else so that you get something of significant value for this asset instead of getting a headache.
I don't disagree with any of that. I guess my follow-up, though, would be, why is that any different than it would have been in 1984 or 1964?
People just didn't think of it then because we have always...
John Elway thought of it then.
Right. He's the only person. And in theory, he had another option to turn to. He threatened to go play baseball.
Because the NIL provides you the leverage to go back to school, but it doesn't provide you a B. Like, it doesn't give you another option.
Because football has always been this sort of very militaristic thing where, I mean, even now, the players, even the former players that we have on our shows are accustomed to saying, well, listen, these young players better be careful. That shield has been around a long time, and it's been there before you. It'll be there after you. That is drummed into their heads to the point that these players, certainly of previous generations, believe they have no leverage, and most of them don't. But a very, very, very select few of them do. And I think we are now entering an age where they will use it. We talked about Joe Burrow maybe doing this. He chose not to, and it looks great. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, all these guys. We'll see what winds up happening. Okay, let me leave that there because there's a few other things I want to get to. NBA action tonight, Nuggets Suns, good one, presented by Indeed. Coverage 9:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Okay, next up.
The Scoop.
I am getting to the point where I feel like I need to say something that I know I have to handle delicately. But the most important thing going on in sports right now is this Shohei Ohtani story. And what is happening now, the way Shohei Ohtani's side of this, whoever his team is, Team Ohtani, his team isn't the Dodgers in this at all. They don't want anything to do with it. You can tell they have distanced themselves from this as much as and as realistically as much as they can because they see what I see and what anyone with eyes sees, which is his story makes no sense. Nothing is less believable than the version of events that Team Ohtani is trying to present here. The story yesterday that is just fascinating is people asked Shohei Ohtani's representation, and by people, I mean ESPN did, well, what authorities have you contacted to report your allegation of theft against Ohtani's former interpreter? If we are to believe the version of events that Shohei Ohtani is now offering us, he found out, to his great shock, that his longtime best friend had stolen $4.5 million from him and wire transferred it $500,000 at a time with no one's knowledge, which is ludicrous, but let's even accept that let's even live in a world where that could happen, which it can't, but let's even pretend that could happen. What's the first thing you do? You contact law authority or law enforcement, right? You bring in the authorities, whoever it is, one calls. I don't know. I've never had $4.5 million stolen from me, but if I did, I would definitely call someone. I don't know if you call the police or the FBI or I don't know who is the right person. But when they ask Shohei Ohtani, well, who have you contacted about this? The answer is they refuse to talk about it. They will not tell you that. They will not tell you who they've contacted. And the reason is they never contacted anybody because this isn't what happened here. And that ultimately is going to come out. And I don't know what the upshot of it all is going to be. It's a tragedy because here's like the best thing that ever happened to baseball. This unicorn fell into their lap. The one thing baseball needed more than anything, which was an international superstar with magnificent charisma and unimaginable talent, opening up any number of new pathways of excitement about their sport. Going to one of their glamour teams this offseason for an unprecedented contract. And before the season has even begun, it's a nightmare of biblical proportion. Hembo, What am I missing?
Can I read for you three different bodies that are investigating the bookmaker that Otani?
Yeah.
That Otani's interpreter was going to?
Yeah.
The Department of Homeland Security.
Department of Homeland Security.
The IRS.
The IRS.
And the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Central District of California.
The feds. So, I mean, all the people you'd think that Otani would call to say, hey, someone has stolen $4.5 million from me, are actually investigating the bookmaking operation in California.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would call Homeland Security, but I would certainly call, I would consider calling the IRS, and I would definitely call the feds or the cops or someone instead of just sitting there going, boy, that guy took $4.5 million from me. I hope he gets his comeuppance in another life. Like, I don't even know what else it is you were supposed to believe there.
I need you to explain something to me. I'll make you the example here, and in this case, you're Otani.
Okay.
Let's say you found yourself embroiled in something comparable. All right, your employer is the Walt Disney Company, ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
His employer is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They have said nothing.
Mm-mm.
I mean, their silence is deafening.
Right.
To what do I glean from that?
That they know what we know, which is that this is not true. The story that Shohei Ohtani is telling is not true. I mean, it's really difficult here because we're in an area now where we're almost making criminal accusations, and I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't know what happened. I want to make it as clear as can be. There are probably a lot of explanations that could make sense for what we know to have happened. The problem is the one that he's offering is not one of those. It is not a possibility. There's no way in the world. I went through this yesterday, but I have to assume that everyone is not with us every minute of every show. I don't have 1/10 Shohei Ohtani's money, but I have enough money to know this. I could not wire, I myself could not wire $500,000 of my own money, something that the interpreter theoretically did 9 different times. Without going through, I could not wire anyone $500,000 of my own money without a minimum of 5 or 6 people knowing about it. A minimum. One of them would be Stace because it's her money too. But I'm not even talking about her. Let's say we were in cahoots on this. I'm talking about all the other people. You don't Zell someone $500,000. That's not the way it works, right? He didn't Venmo this money. You send a wire transfer, like that has to go through that. Just in my own case, I have to approve it. I have to approve it verbally. I can't even approve it online. I can't send an email. I can't do it on an app. I have to verbally speak to someone to do it. That someone has to talk to someone else. Like 9 different people will be CC'd on emails. There's no way someone is just 9 different times wire transferring $500,000 of someone else's money and no one knows
about
it.
And we have seen baseball stars go down in similar situations. We saw Barry Bonds' career effectively ended because of Balco.
Right.
The feds got involved.
Right.
We saw Alex Rodriguez suspended for a full season, the longest of its kind, because of Biogenesis, because the feds got involved.
Right.
What makes this so incredibly difficult for me to wrap my head around is that we have the Department of Homeland Security, the IRS, and the feds involved with an illegal bookmaker. This is not a state in which this is legal. The state of California is going to get these guys, and the facts are going to come out. It is going to be impossible for them to continue to peddle this story.
Let's be clear. When ESPN has repeatedly asked Otani's lawyers for information about what authorities they have contacted to report their allegation of this massive theft, they first received a statement, quote, Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to authorities. They will not tell us who those authorities are. And when asked yesterday to provide proof that Ohtani has reported the theft to an investigating agency, a spokesperson for Ohtani declined to comment. So they're not even covering this up well. Like, they were in no way prepared to offer an explanation for this that makes sense.
Everything has been haphazard. Which is to say, it caught them off guard, and they've been playing defense on their heels. Their story not only changed once, but in response to the most basic, obvious question that you would then ask, they have nothing to say.
Yeah, let's say it was stolen. Well, what do we say we did about it? Nah, don't worry, they'll never ask. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I don't know how this ends. What I don't know is how it ends. But I can't see a scenario where it ends well. I don't know, however, what it all is going to be. More on that as we go. Let's do trivia.
Let's do group trivia here. So the NBA draft lottery dates to the year 1985, as you well know. Since 1985, there are five college coaches that have produced at least 10 lottery picks. You're going to give me all five coaches. The five coaches that have produced at least 10 NBA draft lottery picks.
Love the question. Answers next, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm seeing some very interesting tweets from Woj here that I want to get into after we answer this question, because it plays off of the conversations that we've been having. But before we do that, all right, we got a lot of options here. Hembo, go.
The NBA draft lottery, it dates to 1985. Since 1985, there are five college coaches that have produced at least 10 lottery picks, and you're going to need to give me all five coaches.
So we've brought in Pineapple Jack for this because he's pretty good with the basketball. So Cam and Bubba, there are two of them that are mortal locks, right?
Yep.
So we'll just say John Calipari and Coach K absolutely have to be two of them.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Coach K is number one with 29, and John Calipari is second with 27.
Wow. Okay. Now, I've got a lot of names written down here. Rick Pitino, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, Bill Self, Jay Wright, who I don't think it is, John Thompson, and Jim Calhoun. And then just before we came on, Jack said the name Lute Olson, and that's actually a sneaky, interesting one. They've had a lot of good players.
They had those Richard Jefferson teams
at Arizona
in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I think Roy is our next best guess, personally.
Roy Williams.
Roy and Rick, I feel like, are both
Kansas
on there.
Who was it? Carolina.
Who was it? Texas. Texas had a bunch of NBA guys.
Kevin Durant,
those teams. P.J. Tucker was there.
Yeah. I don't think they've had 10 lottery picks, though. Like, that's 10
lottery
picks.
I think it was Rick Barnes for most of it.
Was Rick Barnes the coach when KD was there?
I think so. I mean, he was there forever.
I don't know.
But one way or another. Okay, so
I think Roy is.
In the interest of moving it along, we're gonna say Roy Williams.
That's right.
Okay.
He's third with 17.
Okay. I think between his multiple stops, Pitino has to be, right? They had ton of guys at Kentucky.
It's a bunch of guys at Louisville, too.
Yeah.
We're going to say Rick Pitino.
That's wrong.
Oh, damn it.
Wow. Damn it.
Rick Pitino has seven.
Is Calhoun one of them?
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Calhoun has 13, which is tied for fifth with?
Jim Boeheim?
No, he's tied for fifth with Bill Self.
Self.
Also on your list.
We had the names,
the right names.
The wrong ones. That's a good question. Hembo has come up with very good questions today. I like the TV trivia question today, and I like this one. Okay, fair enough. I want to move on, though, because it is a college sports topic, but we've talked so much about gambling and questions, and if you're with us yesterday, you heard us telling you the story of Jontay Porter, the NBA player. He's the brother of Michael Porter Jr., they're investigating two separate instances of games in which his prop bets wound up meaning how many points he would score, how many this or that he would do in a game, wound up being huge. They wound up being abnormally huge bets placed on the unders for those in two different instances. And in each of those games, he came out almost immediately. He came out of one game after 3 minutes and the other one after 4 minutes with the kinds of injuries that no one could accuse him of faking. And so everyone, because of the gambling irregularities, people are looking at that. And it is obvious, and I had this conversation with Jay Williams and Tim Legler, those are the easiest ones to win if you're going to make those kind of bets. Like if a player, he doesn't have to throw a game, just bets on his own unders and then takes himself out with an injury, then he's won. It has paid. So, with that thought in mind, NCAA President Charlie Baker, I'm just reading this directly from Woj's Twitter, says the NCAA is working to ban prop bets on college athletes across betting markets. He says the NCAA is contacting officials in states still allowing prop bets on college sports and asking them to join with several states that have banned them. The quote, again, from Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, is, sports betting issues are on the rise across the country, with prop bets continuing to threaten the integrity of competition and leading to student-athletes and professional athletes getting harassed. So he is making an interesting point. Hembo, do you feel prop bets on college athletes should be eliminated?
I do. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear me say this, but this is a major concern of mine and remains so. It's obvious that in the NBA, based on the information that we have about Porter, that it could be fairly easy for a player to pull something like this off when basically anyone that could get into a game has prop bets, and those numbers are really small and they play a very little amount. The difference, of course, between Porter and almost any player in college basketball is that he makes a lot of money. Most players that are going to be playing this weekend in the NCAA tournament are making just a little money or no money. And thus, the motivation for doing something like this is so much greater, and in theory, they could be a lot more impressionable by someone who comes to them and says something to the effect of, how about I slip you a few hundred grand if you pull yourself out of the game in the, you know, halfway through the first half,
for example. That's what it's about.
Now, agree or disagree?
Well, I'm not educated enough on this to say with certainty what I'm about to say. But my inclination is to say, in order for it to be worth, let's say I'm a gambler and you're the player and I slip you a couple of $100,000 to take yourself out of a game mm-hmm. tonight, I then have to bet a lot of money on those unders for that to be worth my while.
No doubt.
And that got noticed. Like, if you start betting, I'm just picking the fifth starter on a college basketball team in the regular season, just any team. Arizona is playing Oregon, and you know, I give $100,000 to a guy on that team on Arizona whose prop bet is that he will score under 6 points tonight. Well, there's no way I can bet $100,000 on that without it setting off all kinds of alarms, right? That will immediately be setting off red flags.
Now, there are...
You have to be able to slip a player a couple of $100 mm-hmm. and that to be worth his time and doing it, and then you could make that money.
That's fair. Now, we are led to believe that there are these VIP types, right, that have the ability to bet more than $1,000 or $2,000 for player props at some of these apps.
Right.
So I think that's a well-made point. Let's say someone offers the backup shooting guard for Arizona $300. All of a sudden, that becomes a lot more in play, don't you think?
Yes. That's the kind of thing that I could see happening much more, as I told you about the Arizona State thing when it happened. I think it happened over $5,000. I think this kid had lost $5,000. The player had lost $5,000 to a bookie. They decided, here's an easy way for us to cancel that debt. And the next thing you know, he was literally shaving points. There were no props in those days. And they got caught because they told so many people about it that all of a sudden, irregular amounts of money were getting bet on these
games. And $5,000 is a lot for a college kid. I mean, at least the average college kid.
No, it is.
It was for me.
Yeah, you know, it is for almost every college kid, including, as you say, almost all the players. Mm-hmm. So it isn't for, you know, the really, really famous ones that you've heard of who are getting a lot of money in NIL. But you don't have to go to them. If you would have to go to them if you want a game thrown.
Right.
You don't have to go to them if you've got a prop bet mm-hmm. on a player to score under 4.5 points. Again, that's the danger here. So Charlie Baker is saying, take that out of the equation. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
What's the course of action here then? Because I don't think the apps are going to willingly just reduce the threshold for what you can bet because they're going to lose money because of it.
Right.
It would have to be some kind of legality, you would think. And that takes a long time to happen.
That story suggests there are some states who've already made that illegal.
And it is state by state, too.
Right.
Which is a whole new ball of wax.
I don't know enough about it to know where it is and isn't legal for college prop bets.
So your first instinct, though, when you read the story, when you read the information that you have from Baker, good decision or bad decision?
A good decision for him to push for it?
Yeah.
I think it's a great decision.
You
he
do.
Has nothing to lose in pushing for it. Now, whether it actually is the right thing to do or not is an interesting question. I got to think about it. I don't know. We're in a new era here, right? Because these things could always have existed without our knowledge. Now we have knowledge. Sometimes casting light on things that have always happened in the darkness is the best way to get rid of them. And you just have to go through some of the bumps in the road to get there. Maybe better checks and balances on it all is really the answer. We need to keep thinking about it. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.